This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Hurricane Melissa is churning toward Jamaica and expected to cause widespread damage. Resident Susan Brown.
When you look at the wind, you can see it coming up. It is not turning back. It coming straight ahead.
CBS's Jason Allen in Kingston.
Melissa is expected to be the strongest storm in history to hit this island. Even these early winds, we've already seen some of the metal roofing on homes and structures start to lift and flap in the wind, and some of these areas may see as much as 3 feet of rain.
I think this one is different. I think we're definitely gonna have this one gonna impact us hard.
Hundreds of shelters are open, though most of the people we spoke with ahead of the storm said they preferred to stay at home and protect their belongings.
World Central Kitchen is in the U.S. helping furloughed federal workers in Washington, D.C. by serving free food to those impacted by the shutdown.
I think that it's an amazing thing. I think D.C. itself has come together in so many ways to support its citizens, residents, who are directly impacted, because the most federal workers obviously are in D.C.
The food aid program called SNAP will be put on hold starting Saturday. President Trump meets with Japan's new and first female prime minister during his Asia trip, and they've just signed a framework agreement on securing rare earth minerals to strengthen supply chains. Later, Trump will travel to South Korea. The U.S. has agreed to a trade deal framework with China, and President Trump meets with his Chinese counterpart on Thursday. Some new questions have been raised about the president's health. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
President Trump recently had a second medical exam at Walter Reed Medical Center, 6 months after his physical in April. He says he underwent an MRI and called the results perfect. When asked what they were looking for, he told reporters they could ask the doctors. Traditionally, a president gets one comprehensive medical exam a year. The White House has not disclosed the reason for the second visit.
Amazon is reportedly looking to shed as many as 30,000 corporate jobs this week, but the outlook for brick-and-mortar stores ahead of the holidays may be worse, according to retail analyst Bert Flickinger of the Strategic Resource Group.
This is just the harbinger, the beginning of really reckless times, as the retail ice age has now become nuclear winter.
Google has unveiled a plan to restart a nuclear facility in Iowa to power the company's artificial intelligence infrastructure in the latest collaboration between tech giants and power industry players. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Not only does Progressive let you bundle your insurance, they also give you round-the-clock protection. Quote today at progressive.com.
Know what's happening in your community across Wisconsin and across the nation. All right here on 540 WAUK. Real news and great conversation.
The Packers sink the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers rallied in the second half to win 35-25. Matt LaFleur on what he saw from his team despite a slow start.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half.
Tight end Tucker Kraft scored his second touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we saw some things in the first half where, you know, we were just one block away from this. We looked ourselves in the mirror and we said that wasn't good enough. We came back out in the second half and we executed.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was asked about hearing the Go Pack Go chants during the game.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
At Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Real news, great conversation, right to your inbox. Subscribe to 540 WAUK's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Milwaukee.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly clear sky, lows in the upper 40s. Nice day for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs into the mid-50s. And we'll look for more sunshine on Wednesday, a little breezy, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, if you're like me, you're an analog person living in a digital age. Join us next time. We'll talk about what skills will keep you employed in the age of AI and data centers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
Fucking well, guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show, Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global. Mondays with Mr. Global. He is going to be back after the 9:30 news. Donald Trump, of course, promised that energy prices would be cut by half.
Cut in half.
Everything is going to be great.
Everything's wonderful.
Because energy is going to be so cheap.
They'll be giving gas away to people. Like, here's your free gas. It's so cheap. Here's your free energy. It's so cheap.
That doesn't seem to be the case right now. Drill, baby, drill, and all of that, and coal is back, and everything is dandy. Maybe not so much. We're going to talk to Matt Randolph, who does actually own a gas company.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Oklahoma.
He's been in oil and gas for over 30 years. He is a certified oil and gas expert. Not just a guy who says, I know a lot. It's a process you have to go through to get certified by it's a thing.
It's a thing.
He knows his stuff, and his YouTube page is going to be linked in the show notes, so you can see all the videos he posts about all the people out there who think they know about gas and oil, and he just...
It's so wonderful.
Politely.
He is very polite.
Sets them straight.
Yeah. In hour number two, right after the 10 o'clock news, I want to talk about Scott Bessent, who is all over the talk shows yesterday. He, of course, is the head of the Treasury,
mm-hmm.
and... He's also just a lowly soybean farmer, Greg. Did you know that?
He's a farm boy.
Just a regular guy. He feels soybean farmers' pain.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Kicking off hour number two, we're going to talk about SNAP benefits coming to an end. I've seen a lot of people on social media over the weekend who are just delighted. Delighted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Seen some racist and racial language being used
some
in their celebrate.
There?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
we'll talk about that after 10 o'clock. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about lighter, sillier things, just so we can all breathe for a moment.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about going retro. For some
seems retro, and for others seems like, well,
yesterday.
It's been my house for 30 years.
So things that are back.
Yeah.
Things are back that were once gone.
I never thought would be coming back. Ever.
Seriously. So we'll talk about that after 10:30. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We're doing a Halloween themed week.
Yeah.
For the Tisbets. Today it is the Itsy Bitsy Spiders edition.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with this, though, and this broke on Friday, I think, because we didn't have a chance to talk about it before. Yeah. Elected officials object as FEMA denies Wisconsin flood disaster aid. State and local governments objecting Friday to the Trump administration's decision denying additional disaster help for infrastructure Indoor, Grant, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. After the flooding in August, over 1,800 homes were damaged or destroyed. An estimated $34 million in damage to public infrastructure. Roads and bridges, from David Crawley, Milwaukee County Executive. Roads and bridges that our residents rely on sustained substantial damage. Public buildings and facilities not only washed away, but in some cases with significant mold. Our parks and our trails were damaged for the short term as well as the long term, and the list goes on and on. So we did get some aid from FEMA, but as far as helping with these infrastructure things, FEMA's like, yeah, no.
No.
You don't need it.
No. This is a new avenue for America. Usually when things and this was unheard of for southeastern Wisconsin. This kind of rainfall, this kind of flooding. I in my lifetime have never seen anything this destructive. And in any other time, a year ago, if this would have happened, even in the midst of what was an election, we were days away from an election a year ago, President Biden would have made sure we were covered. President Biden, all presidents before that would make sure that these states were covered. That's just what you do. There's the money there to help. And now we're being denied. Other states are being denied. This is where we live now.
A lot of blue states are being denied.
I think, honestly, I want to look that up too.
All right, because, double check that.
But it's, this doesn't help anything or anyone. This
no.
It's pushed on the narrative of states got to step up.
Well, and that, yes, and that is what Trump said, even leading up to the election, that states need to handle more of this themselves.
Yeah.
Stop coming to the federal government for help when there's a natural disaster. That's not our job. That's what they said.
I kind of think that the states put, you know, our tax dollars go into that. And, you know, it's an investment in a program that doles out money for the places that need. It's like it's not like you created the money. It's not new money that came out of nowhere. This is money that's paid by the taxpayers, by the states. And it's supposed to be in a pot ready for usage when it's needed. And now you're saying we can't help you. Bunk.
In a letter to Governor Evers, FEMA said while the impact to individuals and households was significant, based on early damage assessments, quote, it has been determined that the public assistance program is not warranted, unquote. Evers responding, denying federal assistance doesn't just delay recovery. It sends a message to our communities they're on their own. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration doesn't think over $26 million in damages to infrastructure is worthy of their help. I couldn't disagree more.
Wisconsin, Maryland, Vermont, Washington, Michigan, and Arkansas, all states that were denied FEMA money.
Arkansas is the outlier there.
Well, so is Michigan. Michigan and us, we all voted for him.
That's true.
Is that like
Michigan? But he doesn't like Governor Evers.
He doesn't like, and I guess I'm not sure whether he likes Gretchen Whitmer or not. I'm not sure where they fall on the scale, but Wisconsin, Arkansas, Michigan all voted for him, and we got denied. And again, it's this thing of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The government can't be here to help you. We're not asking for $10 billion. We're asking for a nominal amount of money that works with what has happened and what needs to be done to fix these. And this is the money that we have put in as a state. So I guess you could call it, please excuse the pun, but literally a rainy day fund. We're not asking for an exorbitant amount of money. This is
$26 million isn't that much.
And I know two people who were denied FEMA funds, period. Like the stuff we did get, they were denied flat out.
Senator Tammy Baldwin said that no community can pick up these pieces alone. Wisconsinites need support so they can rebuild. I hope my Republican colleagues will join me in calling on the Trump administration to step up to the plate and be here for Wisconsin communities left in the lurch. Oh, come on. Wisconsin Republicans would never criticize the Trump administration over anything.
No.
Even if their own constituents are the ones who get hurt.
And I'm sorry, but I'm getting tired of Democratic lawmakers using that line. I'm hoping that our Republicans .. They're not going to help. They're not going to join. And I hate saying that, but they have no incentive to do so. In fact, they have everything to say, don't do it, because if they do something, which smacks of indifference and or criticism of the Trump administration, they're going to be in trouble as well.
They'll pay for it.
And I will say this, $123 million, that's not a lot for the federal government. And we do have $4 billion in surplus money that we could dole out as well. But I'm hold on, I just got a call from Robin Voss. He said, oh, he's laughing.
Oh, is he laughing?
And he hung up on me. Yeah, so... Yeah. Actually, Wisconsin could cover it, but we won't because Madison hates spending money on anything, especially its people, unless it's a tax break. Unless it's a tax break or a tax refund. A check in the mail?
That is it. That is it in the Republican playbook, our tax cuts.
Yep.
For rich people.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
MyVote.wi.gov. Call your state representatives right now and tell them. And I don't care if you don't live in the Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin area. Tell them that they need to get on board with pushing the administration to fund this
recovery
because this has effects on Wisconsin because the Northwoods might be the next thing that gets a heavy snowfall. Maybe it
could be rainfall.
Maybe it's Green Bay that gets, I don't know. I'm not saying I want any of those things, but what I'm saying is that when one area suffers, we can all suffer because they will deny it for everyone. And it doesn't matter if your region voted for him because this whole state went for Donald Trump and we still got denied. So call them, myvote.wi.gov. Look up your representatives. Tell them that we need to get FEMA money because that is what we pay into.
And tell our Republican friends in the House that they should end the government shutdown and bring back Democrats to negotiate over health care because that's what this shutdown is about.
Mm. Yeah.
It's about health care.
Yeah.
By the way, Representative Kaylin Haywood, Democrat from Milwaukee, talking about FEMA not giving Wisconsin all the money that it asked for after the August floods, pointed out that SNAP is on the verge of drying up,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get to that next hour. Communities, meanwhile, left to rebuild infrastructure on their own. It's disappointing. The White House is choosing a $300 million ballroom ego project over the well-being of the people in Wisconsin. Now, granted, the big billionaire ballroom is allegedly being funded through donors.
Well, it was also...
And the price keeps going up, by the way. Did you notice that?
Jane, I was going to say, the price was originally $200 million.
Now it's up to $300 million.
It's going to be $500 million, if not more. And I will continue saying this from the top of the mountain. And please feel free to use these words as well. As long as the people who are quote unquote donating to the ballroom fund are doing that, those are millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaires. Those are people who enjoy the tax breaks of the wealthy class. They are getting tax money back or not having to pay it. Therefore, in my opinion, I'm paying them because they're getting my money that I put in the system. Therefore, I am paying for this no matter what, because they are utilizing their tax breaks to give big donations, and it's all a slush fund, in my opinion. We're just being turned into one big slush fund for the billionaires in this country.
Pretty much.
And you're paying into it, and guess what? If you voted for Donald Trump, you're still paying for it, too. You're just as on the hook as we are. It doesn't matter the color of your flag. It doesn't matter the region of your country. It matters only one thing. Are you rich enough to get an appointment with him? No, then you don't matter.
And that really is what the fight is.
Yeah.
As much as they would like us to be fighting each other.
Yes. And we are. And they're doing a great job of fostering that.
And we are. No, it's about the ultra wealthy and the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. By the way, Carol from Waukesha texting in, listening at WAUK, says, don't forget about the $40 billion for Argentina and nothing for Wisconsin.
Which... a month ago was $20
billion. Yeah, now it's $40
billion. And by the way, $300 million for a ballroom, $40 billion but no money for healthcare.
$172 million for Kristi Noem's planes.
The statue, the Garden of Heroes.
Oh, the Garden of Heroes.
But absolutely no money for healthcare, no money for SNAP, no money for Medicare, Medicaid, nothing like that. It's all got to be cut because we're going broke, folks.
But the Trump administration has their eye on the important
things. Absolutely.
Trump's ego projects. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Coming to across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors, too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, the Todd Allbaugh Show from 2 to 4 p.m. He will kick off the show, recapping the weekend headlines. Talk a little bit about that. We beat our ex-boyfriend. We beat our ex-boyfriend.
Only you call him our ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I am not the only one who calls Aaron Rodgers. I am not the only one who calls him our ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
Maybe I am.
Yeah, there you are.
I don't care.
Okay.
Yes, so join Todd, talk a little bit about our win over Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. I am also joining Todd now on Mondays.
Nice.
At 2:30, so we'll kick things around, and we literally just chat.
That's great.
About stuff.
About
really important things.
Yeah.
So I'll be on with Todd today at 2:30 in the 3 o'clock hour, another edition of What's Worse. Today they're talking Wisconsin meats.
Okay.
That should be interesting.
All right. I'm going to be listening to that one.
So join Todd this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. across our fabulous network. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman has the byline. Gableman could be on the hook for $48,000 to cover costs for investigating him. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman could be forced to pay over $48,000 to cover the cost of the state office of lawyer regulations investigation into him for his behavior during the search for cheaters in the 2020 presidential election, which brought up Zippo, nothing, zero. Our $2 million investment in Michael Gableman found no proof.
Yeah.
No evidence of voter fraud.
And you don't have to go any further for that information than Robin Voss, who admitted that there was nothing found.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He even admitted that. So, yeah.
So here is my question. Should Michael Gableman pay up $48,000 for these costs? 855-752-4842. Should Michael Gableman pay as part of the review? It resulted in 10 counts of misconduct being filed against Gableman. Late last month, he did agree to have his law license suspended for 3 years because of those charges.
Yeah. That's a huge feat, too. Getting a law license suspended takes a lot more work than people think.
It does.
It does. It takes a lot of work. And honestly, Jane, I'm going to open up my Civic Media app right now. I'm going to call the show and tell you what I think. Oh, yeah, he should have to pay up. Period. And done. Get the Civic Media app. It's free.
855-752-4842. Should Michael Gableman, who spent $2 million worth of our money looking for fraud in the 2020 election, none of which was found, should he have to pay $48,000? 855-752-4842. I would agree with your call there, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he should have to pay for it.
I think that, honestly, well, no, I don't think he should have to. Robin Voss put forth the money. I just feel like $2 million...
of our money.
Wasted on this. And also employing the services of a man who is wildly underqualified to investigate this in the first place. Let's just start there. But also the fact that nothing was found and we're still $2 million on the hook for it. And then on, he should be paying this entire thing.
Yeah.
Michael Gableman should be paying that $48,000.
Yes.
Back. And it's funny to me that he's still, how many years? 3-4 years after the fact, still in the headlines.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And I'm sure Michael Gableman and even Robin Voss would love for us never to talk about this again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got to be kind of embarrassing.
Well, I don't think.
Well, that's wrong.
No, Robin Voss doesn't feel embarrassment or shame.
Yeah, there's none of that.
If you bring it up, he will simply just divert the topic to something else and blame Democrats. That's what they do now. Anytime you try to hold Republicans
responsible
or show accountability, it's always how it's somebody else. It's not even Democrats sometimes. It's just always someone else's fault. And that's one of the things that really infuriates me, because I was always raised to believe that Republicans were the party of personal responsibility.
Yeah, that kind of went away 10 years ago.
And that is laughably gone now.
855-752-4842. Richard, you get the last word before we go to the bottom of the hour news. What do you want to say real quickly, please?
I think he should be punished more, because this is a manufactured thing he did.
Yeah.
He should have known way better with his experience and time in law. It's really outrageous.
Appreciate it, Richard. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I agree. I think he should have to pay up.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jack from Merrimack, a listening WEK, says, but it's much more important to give trillions in tax welfare to, quote, job creators and hundreds of millions to Trump himself because the DOJ actually showed criminality, or a few hundred million to the Imperial Epstein ballroom. Needs the gold trim, or a billion to make Argentina great. I mean, yeah, it's this is all, but like all the way, any way they can get money. I mean, $2 million, does it take $2 million to make that kind of investigation? I don't want to throw conspiracies, and I'm not trying to right here, but where did all that $2 million go?
Well, and I think there's a whole bunch of stuff within there that I would love to know more details about. Some of the things that were coming out while that investigation was going on. I mean, they didn't even keep ledgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Gableman investigation, it was a mess.
No, they don't.
It was a mess.
Because they are, once again, wildly underqualified to do any of these things. You want another piece of proof? Look at who is trying to prosecute Letitia James in D.C., a woman who has never, ever been in court.
DEI hire. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch 540 WAUK's news roundup in podcast form. Go to WAUKradio.com to subscribe.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa has ballooned into a dangerous storm, possibly the strongest that Jamaica has ever seen. Prime Minister Andrew Holness.
Hour by hour, it is becoming apparent that the impact of Hurricane Melissa could be greater than Hurricane Beryl, certainly in terms of rainfall and flooding.
The Department of Agriculture on day 27 of the shutdown says the federal food aid program known as SNAP will not go out starting this Saturday. More than 40 million Americans rely on the benefits to help buy food. This man is a furloughed federal worker.
When you have kids and daycare and mortgages and all that, you know, banks aren't waiting around for you to get paid.
President Trump and Japan's new prime minister meet in Tokyo and sign an agreement on securing a supply of rare earth minerals, the president adding.
We very much appreciate the trade. We're going to do tremendous trade together, I think more than ever before. We're just signing a new deal, and it's a very fair deal.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Packers sink the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers rallied in the second half to win 35-25. Matt LaFleur on what he saw from his team despite a slow start.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half.
Tight end Tucker Kraft scored his second touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we saw some things in the first half where, you know, we were just one block away from this. We looked ourselves in the mirror and we said that wasn't good enough. We came back out in the second half and we executed.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was asked about hearing the Go Pack Go chants during the game.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
At Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrased words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Avenue to the Capitol in Madison, 540 WAUK is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly clear sky, lows in the upper 40s. Nice day for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs into the mid-50s. And we'll look for more sunshine on Wednesday, a little breezy, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is an oil and gas industry expert, which is something you have to earn. It is Mondays with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're good, Matt. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off the top with gas prices. Gas prices, according to the president, are down. Everything is down. Gas prices are down. Life is good, Matt. I filled up yesterday. They're not down.
I know, right?
Right? I mean, yeah. I did research yesterday. I went to the gas station yesterday and I filled up and I paid cash and it was still.
What's cash?
It was still like 30 cents higher than it was last week.
Yeah.
Now, I know there was a fire at a refinery in Indiana, correct?
Yes.
And so that is having an impact, probably especially here in the Midwest.
Definitely the upper Midwest, yeah. But, you know, gas prices are not really lower anywhere else in the country either. They're about the same as they were last year this time.
Yeah.
I believe they're $3.05 or $6 a gallon today on a national average from AAA. That's who I use. And if you would have asked me a year ago, you know, what are gas prices going to be in a year? I would have told you $3.05, $3.06 right now. Like, you know, it's everything that's happening has been predicted by all of us before the election, regardless of who the president was. So,
well, and it's important to remind folks as well, because I want to say maybe a month ago, month and a half ago, prices did start coming down, but that happens every year. Right. As we get away from the summer blend and we go back to regular gas blend.
Yeah, we swapped over to winter blend and, you know, prices fall as they do every year. That's why people think, you know, prices fall right before an election.
Right. But it's not
because right. Every time there's an election, we swap to winter blend literally 45, 60 days before. And everyone thinks that elections are rigged with gas prices, but it's like
they are completely unrelated. There is no relation whatsoever. Prices tend to go up in spring as we switch over to that spring blend. And then they tend to come down in fall as we go back to the regular blend. This has happened year after year after year after year, and people still use that as the indicator of where the economy is, and it's just not a good bellwether.
Right. No, it's not. So, yeah.
Well, the president promised us, Matt, that when he got into office, we were in a drill, baby, drill, and everything was going to be dandy. We have a cut from Doug Burgum, the Secretary of the Interior. Calvin, can we play that clip from Mr. Burgum, please, on Fox?
Critical minerals. China today controls 85 to 100% of all the refining on the 20 most important rare earth minerals that are essential for defense, essential for automotive, essential for high tech in our country. They have a stranglehold on that marketplace. We have to break it. President Trump knows that, and we have to get back to mining in our country. It's not just drill, baby, drill. It's mine, baby, mine with President Trump. And critical minerals.
I mean, he is definitely mine, baby, mine, because it's all his.
Yeah, but, pretty much. How is that going, Matt? From your vantage point,
drill baby drill
and mine baby mine.
Oh, neither are really going anywhere.
What happened to drill? What happened to drill baby drill? Prices were to be down. Energy prices were to be down by 50%.
Yeah, well, you know, shockingly, companies don't produce when prices are low. You know, that's It's a big surprise to everyone, but it's true. It's absolutely true.
Well, we've talked about this many times before that when oil per barrel starts to fall and it gets to around $60 a barrel, that's when oil producers stop making money. So they are less inclined to invest more money to do more drilling when they're not making money, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he went to OPEC and got his oil there. And, you know, typical Donald Trump stuff. So,
yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Matt Randolph, who is also known as Mr. Global. You can find him on YouTube, where you put out so many videos now. I follow
lots
you.
And of content.
You are always in my feed, and I'll have that link in the show notes for today. I mean, the question I have for you, I mean, Jane, you asked it perfectly, is that, like, you know, people want, they want gas to be cheap. Therefore, they want, if they see oil barrels of oil prices going down, they think, oh, that's wonderful. But that isn't good for our economy. It's not good for those companies. It's not good for us, period. So to see gas that's like $1.99 or less, that doesn't do the long-term good that we believe, because we're always told cheaper is better, and when politicians say we're going to lower the gas prices, which none of them can do, nobody knows actually the knock-on effect. Can you talk about that? Like, you just said that when the barrel prices go down, they're less inclined to produce, but what then how does that affect us as consumers then too?
Well, you know, saving 10 cents a gallon on gas seems like a really great thing for a lot of people. I don't know why. It's like $1.50 on a fill up, but what you are spending, what you're really spending is, you know, so far under this administration, we've lost somewhere around 25,000 oil and gas jobs. And all of those, keep in mind, all of those are like six figure jobs.
These are
really high paying jobs that don't require college educations, right? So this is access to blue collar, middle class workers to make really good money. You know, it's one of the few places left where someone without a college degree can come in and you know, blue collar job and make a really good living for their family. And, you know, we're losing those jobs left and right. It hurts manufacturing. It hurts the steel industry. And it's a big hit to our tax revenue in the United States. So it's a massive ripple effect. You know, for every oil and gas job created in the United States, I don't remember the exact number, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like 2.8 other jobs are created, you know, as ancillary jobs.
Sure.
So it is huge. And for me, I just don't think it's worth that $1.50 a tank that people get so excited about, especially when you're spending, you know, an extra $1,000 a month on the other things you need to live, like food and electricity.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about electricity, because that was the other big promise. Well, among the many promises that Donald Trump made, that electricity prices were going to be down 50% and it's going to be great. And that is not what's happening around the country either. People's electric bills are not going down.
Now, I told people a couple of years ago that pretty soon their electric bills will be as high as their mortgage payments. And they told me I was crazy, but we started seeing that a lot this summer. I think we're going to see it. And of course, a lot of it's weather related. If we have a winter this year, like we had last year, if we have a cold winter, we're going to see it a lot more this winter. And, you know, electricity prices are going through the roof due to, you know, grid capacity. And we have an administration that wants to pick your source of power for you instead of just understanding that we just need electricity regardless of where it's sourced. We just need more of it. But electricity prices have been coming up for a long time, and everything the Trump administration is doing is only going to make that significantly worse.
Well, and he's trying to sell killing off, you know, windmills and solar arrays and stuff like that. He's trying to sell that as a way to bring down our energy prices, when actually it's doing the opposite. As you said, you're in the oil and gas industry, but you have always been open to all forms of electricity generation.
Well, yeah, the oil and gas industry is the energy industry. And that's all kinds of energy, whether it's, you know, oil and gas, fossil fuels, nuclear, renewable, it doesn't matter. If you're passionate about working in the oil and gas industry because you're providing energy for people, then you should be passionate about energy in general, no matter what kind it is. That's the way I look at it. But obviously that's not true with everybody. But yeah, he's going to make things significantly worse by destroying renewable projects and expanding our LNG export capacity by as much as possible. Those two things are going to be the third and fourth whammy, I would say, for electricity prices for Americans.
Well, and you were talking about the grid and problems with the grid, and this is something that we've talked about in Wisconsin because there are several data centers now which want to come here. One was rejected in one community. One was accepted in a different community. But those two are going to be, those are massive energy sucks, those data centers. Massive.
Yeah, a typical data center uses as much power as 80,000 homes. And, you know, as with everything else that we build in this country, as time goes by, we build it bigger and bigger and bigger. And that means in 5 years from now, a data center will probably use as much power as 250,000 homes. That's how it is in this country. You know, it's always bigger and bigger. And in addition to that, you know, there's never been a good plan or policy to really improve and expand and upgrade the grid. The Biden administration tried with the Infrastructure Act, and I think the problem there was the grid is the least profitable thing. It takes the most investment, and it's the longest return on investment. So when you're focusing on the grid, you have to have a different plan than everything else, right? You can give the subsidies and tax credits for renewable energy, but you have to go a different route with the grid. You have to be much more aggressive. You have to push a lot harder because people, if they can choose five different things to put their money in, it's not going to be the grid.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the grid, right? And so that was sort of a failure there, not recognizing how hard it is to get people to invest in the grid. And Donald Trump is doing nothing. Like, he's completely reversed what the Biden administration was doing, which was helping a little bit, but not enough.
If you're just joining us, Matt Randolph is here, otherwise known as Mr. Global on Matt Nair on Air. Jack from Merrimack has been waiting very patiently. Jack, we'll take you right now before we go to the break. What did you want to say? Boy, Jack, you're going to have to call back.
Jack,
we have
a
real bad line.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that, Jack. If you want to try again, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
And one of the things I want to ask you when we come back from the other side is those jobs you were just talking about, all of those, is something that even the Republicans aren't saying, because I could see them pushing a narrative, we're losing all these jobs because the Democrats are because of this, that, and nothing. But nobody is talking about these blue collar jobs, these good paying jobs. And I would like to know more about that, because that seems like that could definitely be a talking point from both sides of the aisle. But we're not discussing that at all while we're seeing tens of thousands of people losing their jobs. We'll talk about that when we come back.
We're talking to Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. 1983. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mr. Global Matt Randolph is here, oil and gas industry expert, talking about all things energy. Jack from Merrimack did call back in, and he's been very patient. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Well, first of all, I'm helping with the electric grid. I just put solar panels on my house. So that'll help somewhat anyway.
Good for you.
But, now I hope Mr. Randolph will forgive me for this, but there is a way to stabilize or at least reduce the cost of electric production, in my opinion. And that's to only allow American-produced electric production for new electric plants. In other words, just only approve renewable sources, solar panels, wind farms, hydropower. That energy is not going to be shipped out of the country because it's really hard to take a solar array and use it for somebody else's electric production. And it's not dependent on international markets. It's not dependent on the whims of guys like Ben Salman and Putin who want to, you know, jack up the prices of petroleum products, and that should at least keep the prices from going fluctuating as wildly as they have been.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much, Mr. Global. What do you think about that?
Well, he's not wrong. If we only And so here's the thing. We can dispatch and build and generate renewable electricity faster than any other kind. We can add 80, 90 gigawatts of electricity a year in the United States with just renewable energy. We can't do that with anything else. So it's very fast. The one issue is when you add renewable energy, you have to upgrade the grid a little bit because it's a different type of flow of electricity. It is intermittent. That doesn't mean it can't be used. It just means you have to make changes to your grid a little bit to handle that. But he's not wrong. Like, he's really not wrong at all. It's just not a thing I think will happen.
Well, right.
Anytime in the near future.
Yeah, certainly not now.
And that may not apply everywhere in the country. You know, there's probably places where some other type of energy would work better. But he's not. Like, he's not missing the mark on that. It's simply something that's not going to happen. You know, we don't always do what's best.
No, we don't. I know, that's shocking. Yes, that's shocking.
You always say the funniest things,
Matt.
We
only have a couple of minutes left, and I really want to get to it. This is from Wyoming Public Radio. Congress gave a break to coal producers. Now Wyoming is concerned it's going to carry the loss. So the Trump administration gave a break to the coal industry, but what they did was lower fees for mining on public lands. That money helps fund things in Wyoming. So they've lowered the fees for these mining companies, but now the state is struggling to pay infrastructure and all that stuff because they depended on those fees. That's not working out so well, is it?
Not only is it not working out, I don't know if you know about this, but in Montana in the Powder River Basin, the BLM just tried. Oh, I lost my camera.
There we go.
The BLM just had a lease sale for coal, right? They got one bid, $186,000 bid for 167 million tons of coal. So to put that in perspective, the Navajo Energy Authority bid less than a penny per ton of coal. That is over 100 times less than the last lease sale they had. Basically, coal companies aren't willing to pay anything for more coal on public land, even with these new incentives that the government has put out. I thought that was a fascinating story when I read that.
Why are they, and is it just because they don't feel it's worth the investment?
Well, they have an enormous amount of coal, probably more coal than they're going to need to get them to the end of coal. Coal is plentiful in the United States, and they're just not willing to spend any money on more coal because they see the end of coal coming. But this, look, I would pay $186,000 for 167 million tons of coal. I would do that every day.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Like a half a penny a ton or whatever that works out to is, but it really shows you even how coal companies are viewing coal themselves. They're not willing to buy more coal, even with the new incentives from the federal government. So it's anything the federal government is any incentives they're giving these companies is there's absolutely no return on investment.
Right.
And like you said, it's going to cost these states a fortune.
As they are finding out in Wyoming that, we're struggling now. It's they got all of these millions of dollars from these coal companies leasing on public lands, and now they don't have to pay that anymore. And now they're struggling with money. It's called, consequences and looking long term down the road. And what could happen if I do A and then B might happen and then C might happen and then D might happen.
Well, and they're also in a place now where their state legislature and their governor and no one can criticize the Trump administration, because if they do, they'll get in trouble and probably have things cut from their budget, aid withheld. There are consequences there. But
follow him on YouTube, Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. Thank you so very much for your time. It's always a pleasure, Matt. Really appreciate it. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Rock city.
We're a Civic Media station.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Hurricane Melissa, with 175 mile per hour sustained winds, is slowly moving toward Jamaica and could tomorrow dump up to 3 feet of rain on portions of the island. Sandra Simon Clark manages a shelter in Montego Bay.
I have seen and heard that it's going to be very catastrophic. So we are expecting that persons will come to the shelter. So we are ready. So please don't be afraid.
CBS's Jason Allen in Kingston.
People here have not been through anything like this before. It's been more than 35 years since there was a storm like this, Gilbert, back in 1988. And we're finding that most people around the city are not preparing for it, maybe just getting some food at home, but most of them are staying at home. They prefer to be there and protect their belongings rather than stay at any shelters in the city. At this point, it's probably too late to prepare. The storm off the coast headed in and